Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Einstein's notes on relativity are set to be auctioned next month and are expected to fetch up to €3 million. The handwritten manuscript, it spans 54 pages and it's thought to have been transcribed between June of 1913 and early 1914. Well, our own physicist, Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education is here now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
This must be like Christmas for you, is it, hearing about this?
Yeah, Einstein. He was voted by Time magazine to be the person of the 20th century. Imagine a physicist being named such a thing. But like he, when you think of genius, when you think of scientists, you ask a child to draw a scientist, they'll draw Einstein invariably.
Yes, yes. Yeah. How important, though, are these notes? What can you tell us about them?
Well, as a historical artefact, they are incredibly important because they show how Einstein and his colleague were working toward this great theory of general relativity. But in terms of their scientific worth, you know, that's it was all published subsequently. So it's of quirky interest to either a collector or a historian.
Mm-hmm. It's the joy of seeing how he worked it out and how his brain was working. Is that what's interesting?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if people were to look online at this notebook, they'd see that it's equations, it's maths, it's calculations. And what they represent is conversation between two physicists. Mm-hmm. They were actually both together at the time, and they were working together to try and solve a problem. And what I love about these notes is that they couldn't solve the problem. So Einstein was working towards his paper on general relativity, which explains gravity, and he was quite well known at this point. About 10 years previous, he'd worked on 4 or 5 very famous papers in 1905 in what was called his miracle year. He came from relative obscurity. He was working in a patent office in Switzerland because he couldn't get an academic job after college. Mm-hmm. Imagine a college not hiring Einstein. But he worked on those papers. He did it all in his head. He was a theoretical physicist, so he didn't need a lab. He didn't need experiments. He did it all in his head. He used to do thought experiments. And this really showed how his mind worked. He famously asked himself as a child, what would it be like to ride on a beam of light? Or if you were in a train and you were passing a beam of light, you know, would the light be moving slower or faster, etc.? He thought about these things, these very fundamental things, in a deep way. And so in 1905, he published all these papers, one of which described the mass energy equivalence, which we all know as E equals MC squared, perhaps the most famous equation. He also talked about the nature of space and time itself, how these things are linked. And that's where relativity came from. Mm-hmm. He also showed that atoms exist. And he showed that light is a form of particle. These things are the most fundamental parts of physics in the 20th century.
So in these notes that he wrote with his friend and colleague, Michel Bessot,
yeah,
who we never hear about, by the way, not as famous at all, but they were working away together on this. What was he trying to achieve here?
So they were working on this theory of gravity, and the way that they were trying to kind of figure out whether it was going to work or not was to look at a long known problem, which was, can we understand the orbit of Mercury around the sun? Mercury being the planet that's closest to the sun. And they couldn't. They couldn't use the physics they knew at that point to kind of solve that problem. It just didn't fit. And so in these calculations, Einstein was trying out his new theory, but he made a mistake, and the mistake was numeric. He put in the wrong value for the mass of the sun, which, of course, as listeners know, could happen to anyone, right?
Well, you know, it's nice to hear that Einstein made a little mistake. You know?
Oh, he made hope so for us many. All. Yeah, he made so many mistakes. And I think he like any good scientist or any good professional, tried to learn from those mistakes. So he and Bessot were doing this back and forth in these calculations, trying to figure it out. And they didn't get anywhere because of that mistake. But because Einstein was already famous, Bessel said, I'm going to hang on to these notes and I'll keep them. Einstein was very famous for not keeping all of this sort of stuff. He'd just throw things out. Mm-hmm. And so Bessel kept them. They have lived in Switzerland since. And for some reason now, they're up for sale and they're going to take in a lot of money.
Yeah, the estimate, as I said, is around 3 million. The notebook is written from front to back and back to front. Do you think one of them was working one way and one working the other way?
Yeah, I'd say it was kind of, they were probably handing the manuscript back and forth to each other and they'd be looking at the maths that the other person was doing and trying to kind of visualise what was happening using the mathematics. I know that to listeners who maybe are not physicists or mathematicians, looking at this, it looks like a code. You know, but I suppose another way of thinking about it is it would be like if you weren't a musician and you were looking at a Beethoven symphony that's scored. It just has all these symbols that don't mean much, but you recognize that it's something of beauty and something of genius. So I think to look at this rather scribbled notebook, it gives you a window into the thinking and the mind of a person
who was... You can make sense of it. You can read it, right?
At a struggle. I think that the maths that's in it is incredibly advanced. Let me tell you when we would teach undergraduates this stuff. It would typically be in the final year of their undergraduate degree that students might be introduced to this sort of stuff. It's really advanced. Mm-hmm. The basic maths in there, any math teacher or physics teacher would be able to understand what it is. But in terms of trying to follow it or to kind of make sense from it, that still 100 years later takes an awful lot of thinking. Yeah. But it's awful fun to do if you're into it.
But
you know,
even the theory that it goes on to prove is difficult to understand, because I was looking up simple explanations this morning for the theory of relativity, and there were two fellas sitting on a train. I had to watch that for a while.
Yeah.
Then I had to watch Einstein up on a space rocket. And it was a really good explanation, but still by the end of it, I was questioning whether I had fully grasped what he had managed to prove.
But you know what, though? I think that's wonderful, because it's when science or like music or philosophy or literature just pulls you in, and it's that you're like, I'm trying to think about this. I'm trying to make sense of it. It's that journey that's rich. Of course, you kind of need to, you know, you need that little bit of satisfaction to think I've mastered it a little bit for you to go, you know, I can keep going. I can turn the page. But yes, what he was trying to do was understand the attraction between two objects as gravity, as we'd know it. And he was overturning Newton's work, which had dominated from the 17th century. So he was bringing it on another level. And he said that the fabric of space and time is curved. This was his thing. He imagined the universe to be like a very taut bedsheet where all of the heavy objects are placed on it and cause a deformation in the bedsheet. And that is what pulls things towards it. That is what explains gravity. So whilst, of course, we are attracted to massive objects like the sun or the earth, we are, of course, all attracted to one another gravitationally as well. We all pull on one another in a very, very gentle way.
Is there anything in this notebook and his notes that tell you more about him?
Well, yes, in that he was quite scatty. You could tell he didn't keep the notes. So, like, I know probably 50% of scientists are like that, and the other keep everything. You could also tell something about his handwriting. Now, people have tried to read into this a lot. You know, what did it mean that he wrote in a loopy and squiggly way? In reality, what it meant was that Einstein grew up in Germany. He didn't write in the Latin script that we'd write in. He wrote in the old Germanic script. So for him to move into writing with the letters that we're all familiar with was something he did later in life. So it always looked a little bit unusual.
Okay, but wasn't that coming naturally to
exactly,
him, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's fascinating, and they're going on sale very soon. You won't be buying them, I won't be buying them. 3 million, is that what they're saying they'll go for? That's the right estimate.
I'd probably go for more,
really?
You know. Yeah, three years ago, there was another one sold that had E=mc² in it for €1 million. It was just a short note. I really hope it goes into a library where people can see it, or into a museum. It'll probably be a collector. I don't think any scientist would buy it, though. They'd rather spend that money on discovering new things.
Shane, thank you very much. Dr. Shane Bergen there.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.